name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. So it's like the earth is too small of a stage. The earth is too small of a stage in this verse. It says, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And then, but you have set your glory above the heavens. This earth is too small to even encompass it. It's even above the heavens. I was thinking about what is glory and how do I even explain it? And you have in Exodus, you have the children of Israel, they're going through the desert, yes. But every single day they could walk out of their tents and see a pillar going from the heavens all the way down to the tabernacle. During the day it was a pillar of cloud, and during the night it was a pillar of fire. As they'd walk out of their tents, there was manna all over the ground. There's food. I mean, I guarantee you every one of you here would be so ecstatic to have a revelation of God like that daily, wouldn't you? Where is God in my life? Oh, you know, where is God? And you walk out of your tent door, there he is. He's right there. At night, talk about glorious, man, that fire going up to the heavens. That would be amazing. You know you would be blown away by that. And then you're hungry, you walk out, and there's food on the ground. It's delicious. Best stuff you've ever eaten. I mean, we would take that as being God's glory in our lives, wouldn't we? Every single one of us would. And yet, we get towards the end of their journey there in the desert, and Moses is talking to God, and he just says, show me your glory. Show me your glory. I mean, you've been walking around with it all this time. Moses, you were up on Sinai. When you came down, your face was glowing with the glory of God. Remember those vampire teeth you used to put on the next to the light bulb, and then you could take them out and they'd still be glowing? That was like Moses, man. He's like up there next to God, and then he walked down. He's glowing with the glory of God. So what are you talking about, Moses? You want to see his glory. But God had drawn him in so near at that moment that God said, I'll show you my glory. And the glory of God that I want to show you guys today is the glory of a father. The glory of a God who loves us so intimately. God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. Isn't that just like a father? Hey, right here by me. Right here by me. And he says, so it shall be when my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face you will not see. But notice that when he's ready to pass by, he says, my goodness, my mercy, my compassion. In the Psalms, David said, have compassion on us like a father pities his child. Who of us who have had little ones don't just look down on them sometime when they're just throwing a fit and they're just in a mix. Their feelings are all torn up and they just can't make the toy work or whatever. And you just look at them and you go, oh, your heart is just moved with pity. And you just want to scoop them up, give them a kiss, give them a big hug, and then fix whatever problem it is. And guys, this is the idea. This is the idea. The glory of God. Moses was thinking, there's got to be something greater than this pillar of cloud that covers us by day and this pillar of fire that leads us by night. There's got to be something greater than something that leaves the food on the ground for us. And God's like, I'll tell you what's greater. My goodness, my mercy, my compassion towards you. And I'll cover you so nothing, no harm befalls you. And then I'll take it away so that you can see exactly what you've asked. You can see it. Gives him his heart's desire. This is a great and glorious dad. This is a great and glorious father who just is so in love with his kids. So it's fitting that the very next verse in Psalm 8 is this. In verse 2 of Psalm 8, it says, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Get these random kids, right? Just this, these kids. But these kids have been ordained with a purpose. And guys, I want to tell you today, you are God's kid. You are his precious, loving child. And he has a purpose for you, just as he's declared in this psalm. You're his kid, and you have a purpose. And what's that purpose? What is that purpose? You know, when I look at this, I always think back when I was a kid, it was really important for me, and I was the eighth child, and I was always getting the snot kicked out of me by my older brothers and sisters. And I'd go out into the neighborhood, and we had a bunch of kids in our neighborhood, and I'd say, my dad can beat up your dad. How many of you guys have ever said that? My dad can beat up your dad. Come on, hands. Yes, you know you have. You know you have. Everybody did that. My dad can beat up your dad. You know, my dad was in the FBI, and he caught the last two guys to be hung in America. He didn't appear by name in the book In Cold Blood by Truman Capote, but he's one of the FBI agents that caught these two guys that went on this murdering spree out of Kentucky. And, you know, so I used to say, yeah, my dad's FBI agent, he's a G-man, you know, he was the man for me, man. He was so big, you know. And the reason we would say that is to silence those other little punks in the neighborhood. Yeah, your dad in the FBI? Your dad in Cold Blood? We would want to silence those little punks in the neighborhood. You know, we want to just silence them. And that's what he's saying here. Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. It's the strength of your dad. You're ordaining the strength of your dad. And it's to silence. And there's three times he says enemies. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. It's three different Hebrew words. And it's interesting. I want to take a look at that. So the first word there, because of your enemies, literally in Hebrew, the word means the crampers. The crampers. What's that mean? Have you ever had your style cramps? Has someone ever tried to squish you down, push you into place, put you in a box? Maybe your boss tried to say, oh, you can only do this, you can only go that far. Your coach, oh, you can't play that because you're only this. And people try to label you and squash you into a box. They limit you. They cramp you. You ever felt that way? Your big dad says, you're not to be put in a box anymore. This year, make it this year that you tell everyone who's ever told you you can't, tell them, yes, I can, because my God is going to allow me. You can't put a limit on me because my God is limitless. D.L. Moody used to say, if God is your partner, you better have a big plan. Teach me to number my days that I may have a heart of wisdom. Right here in the 31st, everybody's numbering their days. So as you're looking to tomorrow, that new year, new beginning, man, make a big plan because you have a big dad who wants you to declare his praises. The second enemy there is actually the haters. And these are the people that hate you without reason. The second one is the avenger, and those are the people that hate you with a reason. You did something. We're not perfect. But the guys who hate you with no reason, man, haters are going to hate. Alligators are going to alligate. I mean, that's what the kids say. People are going to hate on you for no reason, and you can silence them too because your dad's a big dad. He's a big God. And then when you mess up, your dad is a big, good, merciful God. He's going to hide you in the cleft. He's going to put his hand over there so that no harm befalls you. Don't worry. Your dad's got this. He's got this. There's a great proverb, Proverbs 16, verse 7, and it says this. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. The glory of children is their father. The glory of us is our Abba. He's our big dad. He's our glory. We are his kids. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now, we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, there's a conflict in this verse right here. It says, now we are children of God, but it hasn't been revealed. And I'm afraid that there's a lot of us sitting in churches across America right now that we're the children of God, but we're waiting for the big reveal. And we're kind of just the frozen chosen. We're just stuck. When I first got saved and I came up here to the United States, I was talking with this guy, and I'd never been an evangelical Christian in the United States, so I was just like, man, everybody's a Christian in this, you know, around here. This is great. And I was talking with this man, and he looked at me, and he goes, how long have you been a believer? I said, it's been 4 months. And he goes, you'll calm down. And I looked at that guy, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. Amen. I'm not going to calm down. And you can see it's 20-something years later, and I'm still like this. So, as a child of God, I'm just that bratty little kid that God loves, man. And I'm his favorite. I don't know about y'all, but I'm his favorite. And I feel like it. And I want to live like it. I want to be reminded every day that I'm like that. You too. You should live like that. So, you're not limited. You're not cramped. Don't let the crampers squash you down. Don't let people put limits on you. You have an amazing, loving dad, and he wants to do amazing and loving things through you in this world, to make an impact in this world. Jesus taught us this in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Crampers. Don't be cramped anymore. You can't be hidden. You are the light of the world. Be so close to your daddy, like Moses, that you come down off the mountain and you're glowing. Every day, walk out of your prayer closet glowing. So he says, but you put a lampstand up, you put a light up on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see the good works that you do, and they do what? There's the word. Glorify your Father in heaven. Glory. Guys, we're not cramped. We're not put under a basket. And we need to let our light shine before men that they may see the good we do and give glory to God. The Bible also says this in 1 John chapter 3, a little continuation of that previous chapter. It says in verse 16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are the truth. We are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. So we need to get out there. We need to start making an impact in this world because, man, we love our dad so much, and we are so loved by him that we want to go out and show that love. When people walk away from you, they should say, there's something about that person. I don't know what it is, but man, they just feel like they're loved. My good friend, Ernie Medina, he's a legend in water polo coaching. He's got a giant handlebar mustache, and he's all buff, and he's a hilarious guy, and he deals with a lot of hard adolescent boys, and they're just like, you know, and whenever they give him attitude, he coaches in the public school at Hilltop High School, and whenever they give him attitude, Ernie just goes, man, ain't nobody ever loved you, son. He goes, come on, man, come on. He goes and he tries to hug him. Let me love you, and it just breaks him down. He doesn't say, hey, you need to toe the line. You better treat me with some respect. And he doesn't roll like that. Ernie just says, hey, has no one ever loved you? Because it's obvious. That cranky face that you got on there looks like you've been, you know, sucking lemons and garlic up in a cave somewhere. I mean, you're all, I mean, don't come across as that kind of Christian either. We need to be light, lighthearted. Let our faces show it. right? And when people, you know, yell at you or something, oh, you Christian, man, hasn't anybody ever loved you? And just smile, man. Just let me love you. Ask for the opportunity. This is what we need to be doing. And to have all the blessings that we have and not step out in love, how can the love of the Father be in us? We have to show that, guys. When we see our Abba loving us so powerfully, it should inspire us to do the same, okay? We realize our need, and then he supplies it, and then we cry out, Hosanna, save, rescue us, right? There's a biblical example of this principle that I'm talking about. And it just so happens to be when Jesus quotes this verse in Psalm 8 that I just read about in Psalm 2, in Psalm 8, verse 2. Let's take a look at it in Matthew chapter 21. It says, so the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they laid their clothes on him and set him, Jesus, on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went out before and those who followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes, look at this, saw the wonderful things that he did, and then they heard the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, quoting Psalm 8, yes, have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. Now here's the word of God modifying the word of God. We read in Psalm 8 that it was, you have ordained strength. And here we have Jesus, the word, modifying it, saying, you've perfected praise. It's both. It's both. This is Jesus' triumphal entry. And here he comes. And guys, remember, he wept over Jerusalem before, so he cried like a mother hen, saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I'd long to have you come underneath my wings like a mother hen. You know, Jesus saying, I'm like a mama hen, and I'm like a good, good father. It's like both. It's the best of both worlds. And he says, you've perfected praise. Now, is that really perfect praise? Is that really perfect praise? Hosanna, nice, these kids running around. Is that perfect praise the way we look at praise nowadays? The way we look at worship nowadays? We look at like hill songs and, you know, we're like, whoa, that's perfect praise. Look how those guys do it. They got the giant IMAX screens. And you know, we have a different idea of what praise is nowadays. This is the sublime talking about the simple. This is Jesus looking at little kids who just watched their parents declare him as the Lord. These little kids just watched their parents lay down their coats as Jesus walked in. And those little kids, seeing the example of their parents, said, Hosanna. They did the exact same thing. This is strength. Parents teaching the kids, raising them up in the gospel. This is perfect praise. Parents worshiping and the kids following after them and worshiping as well. This is the perfection that Jesus is talking about. This is the example of a good, good father who's led his kids around in the desert for 40 years so they would start to rely on him. And then when Moses says, there's got to be more glory, and he's like, yeah, it's my goodness and my mercy and my compassion towards my children. This is a good father. This is what we have. This is what Jesus is declaring. Man, this is perfect praise. Notice that the haters and the crampers were there. Did you see that? Those Pharisees? The haters and crampers trying to push them back down. You can't do that. How dare you? They're outside of the temple. Oh my gosh, it's little kids doing this. Get in your place. No, you will not. And he silenced them with the word of God. He silenced them. Look, we have in verse 5 and 6, it says, "For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet." Guys, in Matthew 18, Jesus talks about what the kingdom is like. He says, you got to be converted and become as a little child because the kingdom of God is theirs. Don't despise one of these little ones because as to such belongs the kingdom. And then he says, woe to you if you make one of these stumble. Better that you were never even born. So who's the kingdoms? Who does the kingdom belong to? Easy for me to say. And who's getting in? These children. They're precious. And he also says in Matthew 18, he says, you better watch out because the same angels that see my Father's face every day take care of these kids. Kids are important to Jesus. His kids are important. And there's a plan to build them up, to bless them, to bring them up in the gospel. And when it says here in verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 8 that we've been crowned a little lower than the angels, we've been given glory and honor. We have his glory and honor. And we've been made to have dominion over the works of his hands. And that dominion, the kingdom of God moving forward, this is amazing. Jesus is saying it belongs to these kids. Now let me just share this with you. In Matthew 19, Jesus points out two people that came into the temple. There was a Pharisee who was like, thank God I'm not like all the rest of these sinners. Oh man, is it so good to not be like a Gentile or a woman or, you know, I'm so much better. And then he says, look at this tax collector. And there he was just beating his chest saying, I can't even stand before you. Have mercy on me. And Jesus said, the only one who went away from that encounter with God justified was the one begging for mercy. And guys, I want to tell you something. Kids have innocence, yes, but the thing that qualifies them most for the kingdom of God is their incompetence. They're incompetent. They're unable to attain to anything. They can't do anything for themselves. They have to be led around. And the best thing is they just believe. And they trust their dads, they trust their moms, and whatever you say is like, okay, right, got it. And they depend on it. They depend on their good father. They depend on their good mom. They depend on that. They run underneath the wings like little chicks underneath the hen's wings. They run to the dad and say, my dad can beat you up. Just kidding. But this is what we get when we see what Jesus is doing here, what he is saying here. He says, don't despise them because of their incompetence. You ever said this to your kids? Just let me do it. You send them in there to clean something in the kitchen, you're like, I'm going to have to do it after them. Right? Go and check the dishes that they just washed, and there's like grease on it and stuff. Oh, man. You know you have to go in behind them. But you're training them up. And it's better to train them up and not just say, let me do it. You know, don't despise them because of their incompetence. Give them those wings. Give them that opportunity to be a blessing. And Jesus also teaches there in Matthew 18. He says, hey, if your eye causes you to sin, your hand causes you to sin, your foot causes you to sin, cut them off, pluck them out, cast them far from you. Because these were all signs of your strength. The right eye, the hand, the foot. It's all signs of strength. It's all about your abilities. If you use your abilities to crush down little kids, man, you're going to cause them to stumble. And if you cause them to stumble, go down to Millstones R Us and get sized up. Don't cause a little one to stumble. Because the kingdom of God is theirs. So don't let your abilities squash out. Be humble. In your own eyes. Be humble, okay? Along those same lines, I just want to encourage you. There is no condemnation for us as God's kids. You know how little kids are. They get in trouble, and then 1 hour later, they're doing what? Can I go outside? Can I do this? Can I have cookies? Can I have ice cream? And little kids, they're just bold like that. They don't think you can stay mad at them forever. They're just like, that was 10 years ago, wasn't it? Yeah, it was only 10 minutes ago. But they're just bold to keep coming back. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in Romans 8, it says this. Romans 8:14, it says this. I don't have the verse up here on the screen, but for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We have the ability to just run in. Even if you just blew it, run in again. Even if you just screwed up, run in again. I had a really horrible couple of days. I felt just about as far away from God as I could be. And someone came to my office and they said, hey, can I bring a girl in here? She's having some problems. Okay, bring her in. She came in, she sat in my office, and within 5 minutes, she was fully manifesting a demon. Demonic voice looking at me, calling me names, saying I was a loser, and I was like, I know that. And what I did was I just started testifying of all the things that God had done in my life. And here I was, I felt low, low, low. But I just ran back into Daddy's presence. And I was like, Dad, do something about this demon that's taking advantage of this girl. And I just started giving testimony about how God had worked powerfully in my life. And I started overcoming the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and his testimony. And I just started giving testimony. And next thing you know, it was like somebody let all the air out of that girl. She was like, just literally, like somebody let the air out of her. And I just looked at her and I put my hand on her head and I said, just say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. And she is like a drunk person. Jesus Christ, Lord. I was like, say it again. Jesus Christ. She couldn't say it. I kept exhorting her. Say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Finally, she said it. And I said, say it again. She said it, and then she was shouting it. And then she stood up, and she hugged me. She was like, oh, my gosh, I'm free. And so I'm saying this, guys, because at the beginning of that day, I'm telling you, I felt as far away from God as possible. And as an adult, we tend to say, oh, I can't even do it. I'm cramping myself. I can't get out of my own way. And the Lord is not saying that that's true. He's saying, I'm your dad. Let the spirit of adoption bring you right back into my presence, look right into my face, and ask me what you want. Because I am the Lord, good and gracious and merciful and compassionate. And I pity you as a father pities his child. And if you who are evil know to give good things to your kids, how much more your good Father in heaven? How much more? So I'm saying, don't limit yourself. Don't be the one that cramps your own self. Put that to silence, because we have perfect praise and you've been ordained. There's been strength ordained in you. You have a purpose. The glory of children is their father, like the proverb said. Now, the other side of the coin is, are you a father or a parent? Are you a parent? If parents and grandparents, as parents and grandparents, we have the opportunity, guys, to establish an identity with our kids. It's never too late. And maybe you've blown it. Maybe you felt like, gosh, man, I wish I had lived like that before. I was the, you know, sour face, you know, person that was cramping. I was like, ah, instead of loving. Maybe that was what you had going on. But it's never too late. It's never too late to bring your kids in, that they would be able to turn and say, Hosanna, save. You know, we put on a good facade. And we've gotten even better at it with Facebook and everything. We put on our best facade out there. But guys, we can be real. We can be real. And we can lead with this loving heart that the Father wants us to exhibit. As we're stepping into a new year, there's a lot of things that we do. There's a lot of things that we have going on. But let's take stock of what we're doing. Let's make sure that the things that we're pursuing are going to further this love, this goodness that the dad wants to show, that our Heavenly Father wants us to show through him. I was reading this article, this professional midlife coach. Yes, that's a real thing. This professional midlife coach wrote this thing for 2018. She says, don't wait for tragedy to strike or earthquakes or hurricanes or a stock market crash or a divorce. Decide today to put your mind to living the second half of your life with renewed purpose, vigor, and inspiration. So then here's her suggestions for you to do. Apply for the job that you feel is just a step out of your league. Move to the countryside or the coast or the city or another country that, for that matter. End the relationship or friendship that no longer fulfills you. Say a wholehearted yes to a relationship and commit. How do you have it both ways? I don't get that. Learn to throw pots or design silver jewelry. Be grateful more often. Volunteer for a solo part in your choir even though it scares you. Keep bees or chickens or rescue dogs. Teach creative writing to prison inmates. Take an art class because your current job doesn't satisfy your creativity. Write that letter. Forgive yourself first and then whoever you need to forgive. Start that business you've always dreamed of. There are 24 hours in a day. You can begin without giving up your day job. Walk the Camino de Santiago or jump out of an airplane. Learn to just be and stop making excuses. And I read that and I went, every one of those goals, except for the keeping bees, the chickens, and the rescue dogs, and teaching prisoners to write, it's all selfish. It's all self-focused. Francis Chan said recently in a sermon, he said, our greatest fear should not be failure, but rather being successful at something that doesn't matter. And I think that that's very true. And I think that we have filled up our lives with doing a lot of stuff that just doesn't matter. And as God's kids who have full access into a gracious, merciful God, we should be running in there, receiving, and then going out and giving. If the love of the Father is in us, we need to go and do that. There are so many opportunities this year in 2018 in this church. We have a mission expedition. It's going to be our Wednesday night program for the kids. And it's all about training up this next generation of evangelists. Every month we're going to pick a nation. And then we're going to learn how to say, hello, Jesus loves you in the language of that nation. We're going to learn John 3:16 in the language of that nation. We're going to pray for that nation, for its conversion, and we're going to pray for the workers in that nation. We're going to identify missionaries in that nation, and we're going to Skype them in and actually have them encourage us and us encourage them and pray for them. We're going to be eating snacks and stuff from that nation. We're going to do some cool crafts from that nation, but everything is world-focused. It's outwardly focused. In April, I'm putting together a mission trip with a group called Go Love International, which is an organization that I'm involved with. And we're going to be, it's International Day of Children. And we're going to go and bless some kids. And I'm going to be, you know, asking people to go with me. And it's going to be down in Rosarito, and it's going to be beautiful. We have two giant trailers. One converts into a stage and we can do puppet shows and preach the gospel to the kids. The other has four barber chairs in it and we can give haircuts and we have some dentists and some doctors that are also going to be there to help. But what we need most of all is people to be there to be loving and kind and put on a big smile and give kids hugs and tell them, you know, hola, Jesus te ama. And we're going to be teaching a whole bunch of kids how to do that. And you can get involved. I need people who are ready to pray. People who can come in I could probably do it. But that's not the way God wants us to do this. We're a body of Christ. You need to get involved. And you need to pray about how God can use you in outreaches like that. And in Mission Expedition on Wednesday nights. We're also going to be starting a after-school program and an intercession when they go on break for 2 weeks because we have year-round schools. A lot of these families over here, they don't have anywhere to put their kids. And they're scrambling, trying to find where they can put their kids for 2 weeks. And most of them can't afford childcare. So we're going to do it for them. And we're going to do like a VBS, and we're going to have them here. I got two jumpers. I got a giant slide and a jumper. And God willing, we're going to have that soccer field. I want to put a soccer field out, but don't ever listen to a salesman. They'll tell you whatever you want to know just so you'll buy it. But there was a lot more that needed to be involved in getting that. And I need 7 dump trucks of DG, which is smashed up. It's decomposed granite. I need 7 dump trucks full of it. And then I need it to be graded and all these things. There's lots of stuff that needs to go into play here. But in Jesus' name, it's going to happen. I have a big God, and I have a big plan. And we're going to be blessing a lot of those kids. I mean, you should see them when they come out of Lauterbach School over here. They're like a little trail of ants. And all these little kids, they're little latchkey kids, and they got the key around their neck and down their shirt. And they walk from that school all the way to these apartment complexes over here, and they let themselves in. Half of them walk to school by themselves. Little kids. Up in Eastlake, they would call CPS on you for doing that. It's true. That little 8-year-old kid was walking to school by themselves. Call CPS. Down here, they're like, yeah, every one of us are doing that. Because mom and dad are going to work early. They can't drive them. You want to impact this neighborhood? You want to show them the love of Christ? You want to make sure that those kids don't grow up and give Coach Ernie a hard time because nobody's ever loved them? Huh? You have an opportunity. Make 2018 the year that you do that. I've already got some great offers. 3 teachers that we have in the church here have offered to tutor. And one of them's all about math, one of them's all about literature, history, and you know, one can do English, and it's just great, man. I mean, this is gonna be good. This is gonna be good. We are going to impact these kids. We're gonna show them the love of Christ. And guess what? They're gonna bring their parents. And when we get that soccer league going, because this year they have the World Cup, and we're going to have our own little World Cup tournament out here. And there will be some dads that will never set foot in this church right here, but they won't miss the soccer game. And guess what we're going to do with the soccer games? We're going to pray before every game, and at halftime there's going to be a testimony. That's right. And we'll preach it. And we'll invite them to stay. So it's going to be, guys, there's so much. And sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I can't get all this done. I need some help. I need help. You guys know that already. I need help. We can do this. I want to look at the last couple of verses here in Psalm 8. It says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars and you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. And check these out. All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, those are under his feet. The birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. This is interesting. I look at this and I see the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because the fish pass through the paths of the sea. There was a guy named Matthew Mowry, and he had a horrible, debilitating accident in midlife, about my age. Had a horrible, debilitating accident. He couldn't be on the sail. He was a sailor. He couldn't be on the boats anymore. So they gave him a desk job, and he was the head of charts and maps. And he was a huge believer in his big dad. And he read this, and he goes, paths in the sea? If God put paths in the sea, I'm going to find them. And so he started filling up bottles to have negative buoyancy so they would float just below the surface, and he would put notes in them and a reward if you return them to him. And he started throwing them out in the ocean everywhere and writing them down and looking at the old ocean logs, and he found all of what we now call the currents. And he mapped them, and it revolutionized United States naval power because we were able to get places faster than anybody else because we take advantage of the currents. Also, he noticed in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, it talked about how there were paths of the air. And he was like, I'm going to find those too. Guess what he found? We call it the jet stream. This guy found the jet stream and the currents because he believed in his big dad. He didn't allow crampers to push him down and say, you can't do it anymore. He went to his dad and said, Dad, you got to help me. And his dad said, look at my book. And he looked and he goes, oh, there it is. Guys, this to me speaks of the Holy Spirit that, like Jesus said in John chapter 3, man, the Spirit blows where it may, and nobody can tell where it's coming or going, but they see the effects of it. They see the trees moved by the wind. Let people look at you and go, I don't know where they're going, but man, they're being moved by something. Are you being moved by something today? Is the Holy Spirit, is he moving you to silence the haters, to silence the avengers, to silence the crampers? Because they will be silenced when God's work is evident in your life. And they will see how blessed you are and how much your dad loves you. I'm going to finish with this. In verse 9 it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Children, the glory of children is their father. We bear his name. We bear his name. He is a good father who will reward his kids for their good works. In Hebrews 6:10, it says this. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Psalm 8 starts with a big God and ends with a big God. It's not my dad can beat up your dad. It's my dad can heal up your dad. My dad can bless up your dad. My dad has all the riches of glory and he's ready to give it to you if you are ready to go, ready to receive it. Let's let it be like Jesus said. Let's let perfect praise rise up from us. Let our kids see the good that we do and give glory to God. Let the neighborhood see the good that we do and give glory to God. You have opportunities, guys. You have opportunities. I've named a couple of them. And I just want you to pray about how God will use you in 2018 and make this the year that you can say, I saw God's glory. He said, come on up and stand right here. He put his hand over me and covered me, and then I saw it. I saw God's glory. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God, we want to just praise your name, and we bear your name, and we thank you for the joy of it. We thank you for the grace and the goodness and the mercy that are new every day that you have made available to us. I pray your blessing upon each and every heart here at Westside, each and every family here in this neighborhood, each and every latchkey kid, Lord God. I pray that you would make this place the cleft in the rock. And God, that you would put your hand over it and you would protect them and you would cover them and keep them perfectly in peace as their minds are stayed on you. I pray, Lord God, that you would make this little place, this little niche right here on Palomar, the cleft of your rock, Lord God, and that your hand would be here and we would see it in power. And I pray for all of these saints right here, Lord God. I pray that they would rejoice in their great God and Savior, their daddy, and that the spirit of adoption would well up in them. And they would rejoice in this day that you have made. And these things I ask in Jesus' name. And all God's kids said,